Auto Plaza Direct, King's Court starts now.
I'm still driving, I ain't slowing down. There's rules I love to break and bend, mistakes I've made again and again. But I tell you this, my friends, I'm still around. I hit it hard, man. So far, man. No laying up, no holding back.
Good Wednesday morning, St. Louis and all parts north, east, south, and west. We welcome you in. This is the Monster Energy Drink, STL-Cars.com, King's Court on KevinSlaytonShow.com. This is where you come for the live show and the version that we give you of the truth. And our version is the truth because we back it up. It's the unvarnished truth backed up by facts and evidence. You won't get facts and evidence to back up what people say elsewhere. You get facts and evidence here. We ask the right questions. We get the answers from their own words. We find out who the scalawags are. We do it every morning, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We'll get back to Monday through Friday. We're getting closer and closer each day, recovering from the car accident, the unfortunate car accident back in February that was a bad one. But we're healing. So we're getting 3 days a week in, though we won't be on Friday because we'll be unable to do our show Friday. But Monday, Wednesday, and Friday next week for sure. Hopefully we can get it back to 5 days maybe next week. Who knows? We're getting close. But you can hear the podcast right here on KevinSlaytonShow.com, also on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Google, Anchor, and any place you listen to podcasts that are good, you'll hear ours. It's that simple. Our phone lines are always open for you. 636-348-4460. 636-348-4460. And it's always a good idea to start your day with a Monster Energy drink. I do with my Zero Ultra. Zero sugar, 10 calories, 6 carbs. But every flavor that Monster Energy drink has will suit you. It doesn't matter what your favorite flavor is. Look for that green M shaped like a claw on the can, and you will have found your Monster Energy drink. And what you'll find inside is a boost of energy that'll carry you through the day. A boost of energy that you hit on a Friday to get you started on the weekend, jump started. On a Monday to jump start your week. On a Wednesday like today to get you through hump day. At Monster Energy Drink, they're sponsoring sporting events, athletes. They'll bring your favorite bands to your hometown, and they'll always throw a party around the event. They believe in having fun in life. It's one of the rare places you can go anymore and actually enjoy yourself. Any event that Monster Energy Drink is involved with, you'll have fun with. It's a lifestyle in a can. That's what it is, and it gives you the energy you need. You might wake up in the morning going to work again, and you think, gosh, I feel so lethargic. Get yourself that Monster Energy Drink. Start your day that way. That'll jumpstart you, and it'll get you going. It's the best thing that's ever happened to me. Tell you what, many times through these injuries, that's what helped me. Monster Energy Drink. Pretty hard to beat. Well, our phone lines, as I said, are always open, 636-348-4460. These pro-Hamas protests, well, it's not pro-Palestinian, it's pro-Hamas protests that are going on around the country are clearly being paid for by someone. We know that George Soros is involved. Who knows who else? It might just be his money. But the FBI needs to clearly find out who that is. We, unfortunately, in this country now have an FBI run by Christopher Wray that is more corrupt, maybe, than even the Department of Justice. But isn't it a sad day when the FBI and the Department of Justice, the two entities that one are supposed to protect us, the other one's supposed to catch the bad, after the bad guys are caught, try them, charge them, and convict them. Both are against the American people. Neither do what they're supposed to do. Both are political machines of the left wing. There should not be any public money going to any of these schools that support this nonsense, this violence. First of all, there's people are trespassing when they set up these encampments. You'll hear from Newt Gingrich a little bit later on in the show talking about it. It's very simple how to get rid of them. It's real simple. But the school presidents at all of these woke universities haven't the spine of a snake. They are woke cowards who aren't fit to hold a job, period, in any position of authority. They should all be fired summarily. Immediately. Yesterday. Isn't it amazing to you how most of these protesters seem to be women? That amazes me, but we've got a clinical psychologist who will talk about that a little bit later on in the show this morning as to why it appears more women are involved in these violent protests and these violent, vulgar things that come out of their mouths. But Columbia University is a national embarrassment. Billionaires who contribute much of the money to those schools, over $100 million, three billionaires, yesterday said, no more. One stopped on October 7th. But yesterday, Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, got so fed up with it, and he's a Columbia grad, that he issued a statement outlining his feelings on it. He said, it was through the full academic scholarship Columbia gave me that I was able to attend college and get my start in life. And for that, I've been tremendously grateful. However, the school I love so much, the one that welcomed me and provided me with so much opportunity, is no longer an institution I recognize. Now, of course, Robert Kraft is Jewish. I am deeply saddened at the virulent hate that continues to grow on campus and throughout our country. I'm no longer confident that Columbia can protect its students and staff, and I'm not comfortable supporting the university until corrective action is taken. It is my hope that Columbia and its leadership will stand up to this hate by ending these protests immediately and will work to earn back the respect and trust of the many of us who have lost faith in the institution. It's my hope that in this difficult time, the Kraft Center at Columbia will serve as a source of security and safety for all Jewish students and faculty on campus who want to gather peacefully to practice their religion, to be together, and to be welcomed. Well, I've got news for Robert Kraft. There is no safe spot on the campus of Columbia University for any Jews. There is no safe space at Yale. There's no safe space at Princeton. Any of these schools. All across the country, not just the Ivy League, but the Ivy League, of course, is the most embarrassing. Wait to hear what Victor Davis Hanson has to say about Yale and its curriculum and how it hands out 80% of the grades are A's. And of course, we know that's not true. That can't happen. You telling me that 80% of your students are that smart? I don't think so. And it's happening right here in our town, Washington University. The Hamas crap is going on there, too. A lot of Jewish students at Wash U. But our local media, silent on it. Silent. Mike Bush at Channel 5 is Jewish. Where's he? Is he just a coward? Of course he is. He's a woke liberal coward. And that's what woke liberal cowards do. They hide. They don't want anything to do with it. Oh my gosh, somebody might not like me in the woke crowd if I do a story on this, if I cover it at all. The woke mob might not like it. And we're going to get into it a little bit later on. But first, the president's trial is ongoing. And yesterday, in a related case, the documents case in Florida, Judge Aileen Cannon ordered key evidence. I guess she did this on Monday. She ordered key evidence that Jack Smith, the corrupt prosecutor, had classified documents unredacted. She ordered him to unredact all of these documents. And boy, did they reveal some lies that Biden and Merrick Garland and Jack Smith have been telling. What these documents unredacted now reveal is that Biden's White House had direct ties to the Mar-a-Lago raid. The Biden regime was also directly tied to Jack Smith's investigation, despite claims to the contrary from Merrick Garland. The National Archives had several conversations with the Biden White House. They were heavily involved. Less than 5 months after the end of President Trump's term, the National Archives General Counsel Gary Stern sent an internal email attaching a draft letter to President Trump's PRA representatives. Stern noted he had several conversations with the White House. Oopsie. But, you know, as long as you can redact it, nobody will catch me. And now Judge Cannon unredacted the documents. Nothing but proof of collaboration between the Biden White House and the National Archives and the Department of Justice. It's incredible. The Biden White House and the Department of Justice were involved directly in developing a criminal case against Trump for supposedly mishandling documents, classified documents. According to these newly unredacted documents, this General Counsel Stern of the National Archives was circulating a letter that we could consider sending the Attorney General about missing Trump records, even though Trump was in conversations with the National Archives about which things to keep and which things not to keep. These are outrageous lies by Biden, by Merrick Garland, by Jack Smith, by the National Archives. And they just don't stop. Before we were able to read these redactions, Stern from the National Archives was put in touch with high-ranking DOJ officials who gave him instructions on how to cover his tracks. This is all in the documents. Here's how you cover your tracks. We don't want those dumbass American voters to know what we're up to. These people are disgusting. Thank you, Judge Aileen. I'm telling you, if we're not careful, they'll put a contract out on Judge Aileen Cannon. A hit on her. They've been devastatingly trying to get rid of her. They have tried and failed, and God love her for her courage. We've got a judge who has courage. Shocking. We've got a judge who's not a political activist. Stunning. Of course, she's not a liberal. But she's not going to exonerate President Trump if he did something wrong. But she knows he didn't. And she knows they did. And that's why she's ordered these documents unredacted. Anytime there are redactions in these documents, with very few exceptions, it's liberals hiding things. There's no other reason to redact stuff. They all claim, well, sources and methods we're protecting the identities of our spies that we have. Your spies are spying on the American people. That's the problem. Your spies are spying on political opponents. It's time, folks. I saw where Wisconsin is now in the polls, a dead heat, which is a blow to Biden because he was leading in Wisconsin. But just the fact that, you know, 40-whatever percent, again, would vote for Biden tells you how pathetic this country is. We live in one of the most pathetic countries on earth. It's really sickening. And then you see these polls regarding this bogus trial in New York. This is the only one that they could get to court prior to the election. They're stuck with this one. It's such a pathetic case that the feds passed on it because there were no federal crimes committed, no federal election crimes. They said so. And what do? They take the number three man who had been promoted to the number two man at the U.S. Justice Department, and he leaves the Department of Justice, which, by the way, is kind of a coup if you're a prosecutor of any kind, if you're part of the Department of Justice. That's kind of where you're looking to get. But Michael Colangelo left the Department of Justice to join Alvin Bragg's local district attorney office so that he could be the lead prosecutor against Donald Trump because he wants to make a name for himself. Isn't that incredible? No one takes a step down like that in the legal world. No one. Unless you're just a political hack, which is what Colangelo is. And everyone that was in the courtroom, except, of course, liberals like Rachel Maddow, have described his opening statement as absurdly ridiculous. That he's so desperate he can't find a crime. So he starts talking about other things. Conspiracy. Conspiracy? Even Alvin Bragg didn't charge President Trump with conspiracy. What are you talking about, dude? You just make it up as you go? Is that how Democrats do it in court? They just make it up as they go. Let's keep looking for a crime. We know we don't have any. They've still not identified a crime. And yet here's President Trump in court, right where they want him so he can't be campaigning, begging for a conviction. 35% of people in this poll see President Trump in this case as doing something illegal. Imagine that, 35%. If you ask that 35%, what was the crime he did that you claim was illegal, they couldn't tell you. Because he didn't commit a crime. Ask any of your liberal friends, what crime did President Trump commit that he's being tried for in this case? It's Jonathan Turley is a law professor at George Washington University. He is not a Trump fan. He didn't vote for President Trump. But he's a very honest and fair attorney and law professor. And he understands these polls, that they're always going to have these hard numbers at both ends. Those that support President Trump and these lunatics who somehow see something as a crime in this case. But what's the real truth, Jonathan?
Well, that's not unexpected. I think if you poll people and ask if Trump was responsible for the bubonic plague, you'd end up with the same 35%. I mean, we have these hard numbers on either end of the poll when it comes to Trump. They don't move no matter what the subject is. What is clear is in this case, Trump is right. I mean, this is an embarrassment. I mean, the fact that we are actually talking about this case being presented in a New York courtroom leaves me in utter disbelief. I mean, the arguments today did in fact capture all the problems here. You know, you had this misdemeanor under state law where that had run out. This is going back to related to the 2016 election. And they zapped it back into life by alleging that there was a campaign finance violation under the federal laws that doesn't exist. The Department of Justice doesn't view it this way.
It doesn't even exist. Not only that, that wasn't even a misdemeanor. You can pay people money for their silence. That's not against the law. There's no law that says you can't do that. And Trump denies even doing that. And there's ample evidence that he didn't do it. In fact, Stormy Daniels is on record as saying there wasn't an affair after she, of course, said there was. So you can't believe a word she says. You're going to hear from Michael Cohen, their star witness, lie after lie after lie. The truth is, and here's what people don't know because they don't look into these cases, and the media will never tell you what's actually going on. The truth is, Trump okayed a lot of money for Cohen to write checks on. A lot more than the $130,000 that supposedly went to her. It was the decision of Michael Cohen to write her the check. And there's no evidence that says anything differently. Trump's signature's not on it. Trump's signature's not on any paperwork telling him to go ahead and do it. Trump's signature is nowhere to be found. Where's the evidence? I'll tell you where. In Dream World, there's none. And even if he did sign it, it's not illegal. But it's stunning to me, and when they try to tell you that this isn't politically motivated, it should stun you like it does me, that this Michael Colangelo would leave the Department of Justice, where every prosecutor strives to get, to come to such a gigantic step down to a local prosecutor's office. That would be like making it to the Department of Justice as a prosecutor and then coming down to Chesterfield to try a case and join their prosecuting team because you want to get somebody. It's all about wanting to get Donald Trump. And, of course, Colangelo thinks if he does, he'll be forever a Democrat liberal hero. That's what it's all about. Imagine putting a man through this in this country in order to accomplish that and that alone. Everyone knows there's nothing else. Except demented liberals, of course. And by Turley, Jonathan Turley, just can't believe that Colangelo's done this.
The first person they bring up is the very guy that they got from the Biden Justice Department who's leading this effort. And that only reaffirms and supports this narrative, right, that this is all coordinated. It's a mystery to me why they would do that, except there is a chilling reality here. It doesn't matter. It's New York. That is, if the fact is that most people in most courts would be like, whoa, let's not start with the former Biden justice attorney to make this argument. But in New York, it doesn't matter because not much else matters except the name of the defendant on the caption, Donald Trump.
Boy, if that's not true, no truer words were spoken. If that's not true, I don't know what's true. If it was Kevin Slayton or Joe Smith being sitting there as the defendant, this Colangelo would have nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. Nothing whatsoever. And everybody knows that. Everybody should know it. And it's embarrassing. And Jonathan Turley's right. It's New York. They don't care. In New York, they don't care what they have to do, what crimes they have to commit in order to get Donald Trump. And not just New York, by the way. We're finding out that, of course, in Georgia, they'll do it as well. In Florida, they won't do it. Thanks to Judge Aileen Cannon. But in New York, they'll do it. We saw the clown judge in the previous case, in the real estate case. Now we're seeing a second clown. These are simply clowns in black robes. That's all they are. They're an embarrassment to the judicial system in America. And they don't even know it. They're too incompetent and too stupid to even know it. This is the problem with our judicial system. Judges get appointed by political hacks who appoint their political hack friends to be judges. Most of these judges aren't very good lawyers. That's why they're judges. When you get to the Supreme Court, they're pretty good lawyers. But it's a long way to get there. At the local level, in the state court, you see mostly incompetence in the judiciary. And boy, is it obvious. And it's obvious here. They're political hacks. If they weren't political hacks, then let's remove the appointments from politicians. Let's remove the election process and judges. And let's form a committee of lawyers to appoint judges. That would make sense. You're always going to have some politics involved, but at least in that sense, in the scenario I'm creating, you would have people who try cases in front of judges or who have experience in courtrooms who know what good judges are and what bad judges are. Let them determine if there's a three-candidate panel of nominees. Okay, here's our legal committee. They're going to decide which one of you becomes a judge because they know you as a lawyer. They know how good or bad you are. Mike Davis of the Article 3 Foundation, who is Michael Colangelo, this clown who's leading the prosecution and left the Department of Justice to do it?
Yeah, so Matthew Colangelo was a senior political appointee in the Biden Justice Department. He was the acting number three. He was on the parachute team. And then he was the number two to the number three. Before that, he worked for the Obama Justice Department. He worked for the Obama White House, for Tom Perez, for Eric Holder. This guy is the Forrest Gump of this lawfare against President Trump. He just seems to keep popping up everywhere.
Forrest Gump Colangelo. Now, you heard all of those ties to Obama, to Holder, to Biden. Is it any surprise that this is the guy that pops up to try President Trump? Is it any surprise at all? Of course not. The only surprise would be if Biden tried the case himself, but being the failure as a lawyer that he was, he wouldn't know his way around the courtroom. He probably wouldn't even know his way to the courtroom. But this is what you have. So when you talk about a stacked deck, when you talk about political hack liberals intentionally lying, I mean, what they've done to the judicial system is destroy it. The entire legal system has no trust from any citizenry. If the citizens trust the legal system in this country, you're just a buffoon. You are just too dumb to even talk to. It's like a lawyer once told me, if you're looking for justice, stay away from a courtroom. That was a long time ago, by the way. He was right then, and he's even righter than Righty Reitenstein now. The court system in America is so blatantly corrupt by these liberals that it's just disgraceful. They've ruined what was the model system in the world. But anytime you let the liberals invade it, it becomes ruined. Because they're despicable people. They don't care about the law. They don't care about following procedure. They don't care about due process. They simply care about getting somebody. And in this case, all they care about is getting Donald Trump. The most innocent man in the history of this country. What other man could withstand the kind of pressure and power that has been mounted against him from this government, from the top of this government right on down through every institution that we have to try to get him? That includes the media. What other man could have withstood this? And he's still standing and he's still fighting. It's unbelievable, really. Brett Tolman is a former U.S. attorney. He understands how important it was in his career to become a U.S. attorney. Why would a Department of Justice attorney move to a local prosecutor's office?
Well, let's ignore the fact that it typically would be a step down for, you know, a federal prosecutor to leave the lofty heights of DOJ to then jump into a district attorney's office. But not in this case. This case, it was a step up because the objective here is to take down Donald Trump. But I sat and I listened to the opening remarks, the opening statements, and I've listened to the questions and what's been asked of the witness so far. I have to say, it makes me wonder if this prosecutor has even read his own indictment. I have never seen an individual be more off track than this prosecutor in this courtroom. The conspiracies, the effort to bring in evidence that I think later is going to be a real problem for them if it does go to appeal, if they do happen to get a conviction. It would be absurd to convict in this case. But you're not hearing about the falsification of business records. You're not hearing about any of the elements that he has to prove in order to get a conviction on what he's charged. Instead, you're hearing about what they want to talk about, which is the conspiracy. But I would say this. What political candidate is not trying to influence an election? They have yet to even articulate facts that suggest a crime or criminal intent, yeah, even close on this president.
Nothing. They have nothing. The liberal media would have you believe Donald Trump was the second gunman on the grassy knoll. But they have nothing. No crime whatsoever that they can even identify. This is Brett Tolman you just heard speaking. This guy was for decades in the U.S. Attorney's Office. And he just told you he's never seen a more incompetent attorney in a trial than this Michael Colangelo, who is nothing more than a liberal hitman. He's not a good attorney. He's a political hack. And that's all he is. Now, we just told you about Biden's involvement in all of these cases, and that his White House has instructed the Department of Justice in all of these cases, from the Mar-a-Lago raid to this one in New York to every one of them. And yet Biden lied, denying any involvement in any of the Trump cases. Remember this?
I don't want to get myself in the middle of whether or not the Justice Department should move or not move on certain actions they can take. I've agreed I would not tell them what to do and not, in fact, engage in telling them how to prosecute or not.
I don't know how you sit there and lie like that, really, honestly. You know, people have all told white lies, little white lies, we call them. You know, what time did you get home last night? Well, I was home at 11. Well, actually, you got home at midnight. Big deal. This guy lies about major things. Major things. And it doesn't matter what it is. He'll lie about it. In fact, I don't think I've ever heard Biden tell the truth. There's no other person I've ever heard, every time they speak, where they qualify things by saying, I'm not kidding. I'm not, no lie. No joke. Seriously, folks. No, it really did happen. Why do you keep qualifying it? Because he knows subconsciously that he's lying. And he's trying to justify the lie because he thinks if he says that five times, you'll believe him. The George Costanza philosophy. If you keep telling a lie, people will soon believe it. Came right out of Adolf Hitler, actually. Keep telling the same lie over and over again, and pretty soon people believe it. And that's what you've got here. 35% of these people in this poll, of course, these are 35% idiots, and it's a liberal poll, so you could imagine it's probably more like 25%, if not lower, actually believe Trump committed a crime. But all you have to do is ask those people, what crime? Tell me, what crime? I mean, the liberals have given Trump and his campaign so much fodder for campaign ads, nothing's ever been easier. The only tough thing about running the media division of Trump's campaign would be sifting through so much stuff. What do we use? What do we leave out? There's so much. I mean, one ad, you could just simply put their records side by side. Each has served 4 years. Here are the successes of President Trump. Here are the failures of Biden, which is everything. Everything Biden's done has been a failure. Name me one thing that's helped the country. Name me one thing that's helped the world. We had peace in this world when Donald Trump was president. Peace. We have three wars going on now. And our people are getting attacked. Our soldiers are being attacked by Iran. I mean, that's one ad. These other ads are all these lies Biden tells. I mean, so much video of him just mumbling and stumbling. I mean, this is easy pickings. That's why there's no way this presidential race is even close. If it even ends up close, you know how hard the liberals cheated. But they can't be allowed to win. They can't be allowed to win by cheating. It's got to be stopped. And that's on Laura Trump and her co-chairman of the Republican Party. They have to do it. Now, I've heard them both talk. They have plans. They have they have mobilizations already in place. So we'll see. It doesn't make sense to me, other than politics, that this Judge Mershon, who's making money left and right off this case, as is his daughter, the ultimate conflict of interest judge is this clown. But he knows there's no crime, all right? He's a judge, which means he's a lawyer. He understands a crime. He knows there's no crime in this case. So why not just dismiss the case, Jonathan Turley?
And so once again, you get back to the role of the judge here, that we're going through a trial that seems desperate to find a crime, but you can't even get that from the indictment or the opening statements. The fact that we had to wait for the opening statements for Bragg to even fully articulate what his theory was shows how weak this case really is. And it's only that weakness is only becoming more and more evident every day.
To anyone, I don't think you have to be a lawyer or have a legal background to see right through this. They can't articulate a crime or a theory of a crime. So don't buy all of the song and dance bullshit. Oh, there's a conspiracy. Oh, he violated federal election laws. No, he didn't. The feds already said he didn't. So there is no crime. All they want to do is try to tarnish Trump with a porn star. That's all they want to do. They want to make you think he's immoral and that somehow women will vote against him because of that. Well, I'm guessing people heard that Access Hollywood tape before the 2016 election. I'm guessing a lot of women heard that and probably considered that to be immoral, even though guys don't, because guys who are in locker rooms or out having beers together talk like that all the time. So women didn't turn against Trump on that one. When there are such conflicting statements from the people involved, the witnesses, Cohen, Stormy herself saying, well, there was no affair. And the reason there wasn't an affair is because there wasn't one. I mean, can you be any clearer? And then she turns around and claims she wants money for something. God only knows what, but that was with Michael Avenatti, who's now in jail. So you have her other lawyer serving a lengthy prison term. He's the guy, remember, that all the liberals said they would vote for president if he ran. The CNNs, the MSNBCs, fawning all over him. Why? Because he was against Trump. Now, if women vote in a higher percentage for Biden than Trump, it will show you the collective IQ of women. Any group that votes for Biden will show you what their collective IQ is. It's never been more obvious. I'm guessing more women have functioning brains than the liberals give them credit for. In other words, they much prefer the safety of their children and their families than they care about anybody having an affair, if indeed he had one. We don't know, because she says he didn't. Stormy Daniels does. He says he didn't. Some other gal says he did. Big deal. They've been saying this about Trump for decades. He was a ladies' man when he was single. So that's what they want you to make the connection to. Donald Trump dated many beautiful women, so he must be having an affair. Well, he can't find one more beautiful than his own wife, so it would be surprising. And yet, it always ends up the people that come forward, the women that come forward to accuse Trump or Justice Kavanaugh or anyone else on the Republican side, are all women, as it turned out, that have money coming in for their testimony. Christine Blasey Ford made over $1 million in a GoFundMe page that was set up for her, which is just a backdoor way of the Democrats paying her for her lies against Justice Kavanaugh. Didn't work. Every time they do it, it fails. Fails dramatically. Compare all of the women. Get a picture, like a class picture, of all the women President Trump's ever dated or been married to. And put that picture up, and then try to put E. Jean Carroll in that group and see if anything makes sense to you at all about that one. Just another liberal judge trying to hurt the president. That's all. That's all it is. Nothing more, nothing less. And there's always more, isn't there, Jonathan Turley?
But on top of that, you've got these tough factual issues that were laid out well by the Trump tape, saying someone else designated this as a legal expense. And he was actually paid far in excess of this because of this was a legal account. But also keep in mind, this is what Hillary Clinton's people did. You know, remember when they funded the Steele dossier, which they denied to reporters, they put it as a legal expense. And then they fought the eventual fine that they received from the federal government, saying, but it was a legal expense. But now you've got some of the same Democrats supporting this bizarre theory.
Because they're bizarre. That's why. Now you've got this gag order ruling coming, I guess, down today, when this judge is going to rule whether or not President Trump violated a gag order. Well, of course he violated the gag order. But the gag order itself was bogus. You don't issue a gag order on one party in a trial. No judge does that. Brett Tolman, again, a U.S. attorney, decades of experience practicing as a U.S. attorney. What are your thoughts about this gag order, and have you ever experienced it in any trial you've been in?
I've had cases in which a gag order was ordered by a judge, and a few of them, they're very infrequent, but I have never in 25 years in the criminal justice system seen a gag order that was applied actually to the defendant. It's typically applied in order to protect the defendant in a case. And if it is applied, it is applied to everyone in the case. But now you have Michael Cohen, who can say anything he wants to say about the president, and then the president who can't respond.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. Imagine this country and what it's become because of these corrupt judges. Michael Cohen, Stormy Daniels, anybody, you name them, they could go out and say whatever they want about this case. But not Donald Trump. He can't say a word. Bullshit. I tell that judge to go F himself so fast, it's not even funny. What a corrupt son of a bitch that judge is. And his corrupt daughter. It runs in the family, these liberals, I'm telling you. It's in their bloodlines. You've got a corrupt judge, you can guarantee their kids are corrupt. You got a corrupt political hack, guarantee their kids are corrupt. In Biden's case, the entire effing family is corrupt. It's incredible stuff. But you heard Brett Tolman. Gag orders are issued on the rare occasions that they're issued to protect the defendant. They're not issued against the defendant. And if they're issued at all, they're issued to everyone in the case. You've heard that before. You've seen that in cases. A gag order has been issued so nobody can talk about the case. Nobody. Not just the side that the judge wants to win. So the judge has decided he wants Trump to lose. So Trump, you got to shut up, but these other people can continue to pound away at you with their lies, and you can't even so much as say they're lying. You can't even defend yourself. That's America today. America's legal system today says anyone can say whatever they want about you, and you can't so much as defend yourself, much less sue them for slander, I suppose, because after all, this judge would throw it out. So anybody can lie against you if you're a conservative or a Republican, and in judges, these liberal judges' courtrooms, you can't even respond. That's America. That's what America's become, just a shithole country. Arthur Idala is a criminal defense attorney, and he's practiced some high-profile cases. He's had high-profile defendants, including Harvey Weinstein. CNN had him come on, hopefully to, I'm sure, put Donald Trump as the evil ogre, and he probably should be in jail. But that's not what happened. And in fact, he suggested ways for Trump to create reasonable doubt.
But my understanding is it's not paperwork with Donald Trump's handwriting on it or his signature on it, except for a check. So the defense could merely be, hey, Michael Cohen did all of this. He never told his client. He just said, look, I need money for this, I need money for that. And, you know, one of the witnesses who's going to testify at this trial testified for the defense, and he said that the money that was given to Michael Cohen was for Stormy Daniels and for legal fees. That's a reasonable doubt.
That's exactly what it is. And again, keep in mind, all Trump needs is one. We all believe that in a jury of 12 people in New York, Trump would never get a majority in his favor. But he doesn't need it. He needs one. One honest person. Now, you can imagine the pressure that if there is an honest person in there, that they're going to be under from the other liberals in that jury room. But any person worth his salt that has a backbone, if you were attacked by these people and you thought one way and they thought another, you would tell them, put your fists up, let's go. I'm sick of you. I'm tired of listening to you. Don't say another effing word to me. I vote not guilty. The rest of you can go F off. I don't want to hear you anymore. Now, maybe I'm just a unique, old-fashioned American. Maybe we don't exist anymore. But I'm pretty sure that's what John Wayne would have told him. And Michael Cohen can run around, as we said, and lie and talk and lie and talk and lie, contradict himself. Here's just some of them. He admits that he's a liar, and that Trump knows this is bogus.
I've been convicted on 5 counts of tax evasion.
You stood before multiple congressional committees before today and raised your right hand and swore an oath to be honest, and you lied to those congressional committees. Is that correct?
Previously?
Correct.
Yes, sir.
A reporter for the magazine Vanity Fair has reported that she interviewed you the very next day on February 14th, 2018, about the payment and reimbursement. And she wrote, quote, "Last February 14th, I interviewed Cohen in his office about the statement he gave the FEC in which he said Trump didn't know about the Stormy payment or reimburse him for it." Do you recall this meeting with the reporter?
I do.
So he said Trump didn't know about it, and now he's going to testify that he did know about it. But he also admitted that he lies under oath. I mean, what? This guy should be barred from ever testifying. He shouldn't even be allowed near a courtroom. He's already served a prison sentence for his tax evasion. Here's another Cohen lie.
I don't want to be a witness in the case. I don't call myself the key witness. I say I'm the narrator of the story.
Liberals buy that crap. I don't want to be a witness. You are begging to be a witness. It's all you've got. You're trying to peddle a book. You're trying to do something else, a movie maybe, on you. Just call it Liar, Liar. I'm sorry, that was already made. Jim Carrey was in it. Just, but you know he's writing a book. Who would buy his book is beyond me. But I don't want to be a witness in the case. Well, then just get up there and plead the fifth on everything that's asked you. I want to be the narrator of the story. Who does this guy think he is? The narrator of the story. What does that even mean? I want to just be able to lie without having to swear to an oath. I think that's what he means. So if you're not a witness, then you don't swear under oath. You just talk like the bullshitter that he is. I think that's what he means. God only knows for sure what he means. Who in the hell would know? I mean, honestly, think about it. He he's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Now the libs on CNN are running around calling this a conspiracy or a scheme because they've heard the opening arguments from Michael Colangelo, the cowardly Department of Justice prosecutor who left there in order to come to a local prosecutor's office just to get Trump. They've heard his opening statements. They know there's not a crime in there. So all these legal quote-unquote experts on CNN are, well, wait a minute, there's not a crime. It's a conspiracy. It's a scheme to violate federal election laws. And you've got all the typical idiots that they put on there. From Jeffrey Toobin to the rest of them, while Jeffrey Toobin's not busy himself while the video's running.
The testimony you're already hearing about a catch and kill, about a pattern of behavior, about this trying to influence an election, that's where you want this jury focused for this witness.
Pecker's very important witness because he's at the center of the scheme to influence the election.
This was a conspiracy to help Donald Trump win the election.
Now, it's such a conspiracy and it's such a scheme and a pattern that not even Alvin Bragg charged Trump with any form of conspiracy. It is incredible, isn't it? They want to claim Donald Trump was part of an insurrection, yet no one's charged him with an insurrection. They now want to claim, these media people, that he's part of a conspiracy, yet no one's charged him with a conspiracy. And these are all liberal prosecutors, a liberal Department of Justice. If they could, if there was an ounce of evidence, they would. Usually they do it without evidence. That's what they're doing now. But they won't even identify a crime. I think they won't identify the crime because, A, they know there's not a crime. And if they do make one up, they could face disciplinary action from a bar association. I think that's probably why they're not really identifying a crime. Because they know there isn't one. That what they're counting on is a liberal judge hack, Mershon, who's making money by the gazillions for his daughter by presiding over this case, who represents all kinds of Democrats, including Adam Schiff. They were counting on him. They were counting on him to shut Trump up, which he's trying to do. Then they were counting on bringing this case in New York, where he could get 12 liberal freaks to come in who hate Trump. That's what they were counting on. They know there are no crimes. They know there's no evidence. But they also know the juries, in many cases, don't care. They don't care about evidence. That criminal defense attorney you heard from a moment ago, Arthur Odala, said that there have been surveys that put the absolute importance on opening argument. And in your opening argument, once you're done with it, 80% of jurors say they make their mind up after opening arguments. So they don't pay attention to any evidence. Jury of my peers? I'm not illiterate like they are. How could they be my peers? Jury of people who swear to listen to the evidence? They've already violated their oath. 80% of them. In every trial. So the CNN libs are desperately trying to find something to hang their hat on. They can't. They know they can't. But leave it to Mitt Romney to pronounce Donald Trump guilty, because Mitt Romney is so above it all.
I think everybody has made their own assessment of President Trump's character, and so far as I know, you don't pay someone $130,000 not to have sex with you.
He can't even get it right. The allegation is he paid $130,000 to shut her up about sex, not to not have sex. This stupid ass doesn't even know what Trump's been accused of, even though it's not a crime. That's how dumb Romney is. These are the people that the people of Utah elect to represent them in the Senate. Somebody as dumb as this guy, who despite all of the publicity that the media has put out there, still can't figure it out, can't get it right. No one said Trump paid her $130,000 not to have sex. This guy's so dumb. And he is such, anytime, you know, the Mormon religion ought to be ashamed. Ashamed that Mitt Romney calls himself a Mormon. If he were calling himself a member of my faith, because he's not a Christian, so I don't even buy into that. Not for a moment. You are not a Christian when you're as evil and rotten as Mitt Romney is, when you lie like he does. When you're as big a fraud as he is. When he will publicly tear into Donald Trump over everything and yet privately try to get Trump to bring him into his cabinet like he did. God, Trump set him up perfectly. You know, you watch TV shows and you see people get set up. And after they get set up and they realize, they said, "You SOB, you set me up." And they said, "I sure did." That's exactly what Trump did to Romney. He made a monkey out of him. With all of the vitriol that Romney spewed about how rotten Trump was and how fit he is to be president, then after he wins the 2016 election, who's the first guy going to visit Trump begging for a cabinet position? None other than Mitt Romney. If there's a bigger fraud in Washington, I don't know who it could be. I know the comeback is going to be they're all tied for first, and that's a pretty smart argument to make. But Romney certainly is there. He's in the top echelon of those tied for first of being the biggest phony and fraud in Washington. And stupid. If you hate Trump, at least get it right what they're saying he did. I'm pretty sure that people don't pay $130,000 for somebody not to have sex. Nobody's ever said that. Listen to him again. He's so arrogant. Every word just drips with arrogance. Like he's some high and mighty Christian. He thinks he's Jesus Christ.
I think everybody has made their own assessment of President Trump's character. And so far as I know, you don't pay someone $130,000 not to have sex with you.
What an idiot. Just a raving lunatic. We've all made our assessment of Donald Trump's character. And, of course, my character is much higher. I'm Mitt Romney. I've got real character. God. It is amazing. I think he should be going straight to Hollywood when his term is up and getting a starring role in a sitcom, because he is a sitcom. Romney's a sitcom all by himself. So I started the show talking about what's going on these university campuses with these Jew haters, and many of them are women. Newt Gingrich knows how you get this done. But unfortunately, university presidents, especially at these liberal Ivy League woke schools, and of course, I'm not singling out the Ivy League because University of Missouri has an uber liberal woke nitwit named Mun Choi running that operation down there, which is a cluster bomb, and every place all across the country. These are institutions of indoctrination into the liberal nuttiness that's invaded this country. They're not educational palaces anymore. How do you see these university presidents, Newt Gingrich?
I look at these university presidents who are cowards. The whole idea that Columbia can't guarantee safety, that the rabbi at Columbia urged Jewish students to go home because he thought it was physically dangerous. Yale has lost partial control. You go down the list. There are clear steps that can be taken. People who violate the rules can be expelled. People who are there who are not U.S. citizens can be deported. We do not want to run a risk of the gradual rise of essentially a Nazi-like anti-Jewish movement, and that's what it is.
That's exactly what it is. It's exactly what it is. It's amazing, isn't it? That is bizarre. Very bizarre. I'm beside myself with these universities. I really don't get it. I don't know how and when they became this way. Seems like just recently, doesn't it? It's probably been going on for quite some time. Because, you know, I haven't been involved in a school situation in a long time. So I wouldn't know. I'm not on the campus. I do know when you hear them speak what they're all about now, though. You don't have to be on the campus. But I don't recall this going on 10 years ago, 15 years ago. It seems like it all happened when Trump got elected. The liberals mobilized and decided to indoctrinate every student coming out of high school and in high school, and now even down to grade school, to pervert the children, because that's what they're doing, as old as kindergarten kids. And that's what they're trying to do. And that's scary. But there are facts involved here. And the facts are, all you have to do is close every one of these tent encampments on these college campuses, because at the very least, they're trespassing.
And the fact is, none of these encampments are legal. None of these encampments are authorized by the college or the university. All of them involve trespassing. All of them should be closed down tonight. People who insist on staying should be arrested. This is not complicated. The fact is, these are people breaking the law and risking real threats to their Jewish fellow students.
Bingo. Close them down now. Move them out now. Or arrest them. Not just posing threats to their fellow Jewish students. They're threatening to have them killed. You don't believe me? You're going to hear from Ted Cruz here in a few moments. Well, there's video of one. I mean, what's going on these campuses is not really just dangerous to Jews, but it's dangerous to anybody who disagrees with these people. But of course, Jews are the target. And yet, spectacularly, weirdly, Jews as a voting bloc vote for liberals. It's incredible. Now, these people who are protesting, of course, they don't know what they're talking about. Not one of them understands what the Holocaust was about or October 7th. But they hate Biden. So Biden got himself locked right in the middle of this. He can't very well turn his back on Israel because he's got the whole Jewish bloc of voting to consider. And now, all of a sudden, this new bloc that he's allowed to come in the country hates him because he's not protecting the Palestinians, or Hamas, really, is what we're talking about here, a terrorist group. So what all of these protesters are chanting is that they are telling you that they support terrorism. I'm pretty sure that's a crime, and if it's not, you could certainly make it into one. and he could just arrest all these people. And number two is, and I would launch it into number one position, as Newt Gingrich said, deport them. Get rid of them. This isn't what we want in this country, but we have it because of the jackass in the White House. But just get rid of them. They don't belong in this country. And Victor Davis Hanson, a guy that I respect, intelligent, smart, we're in a territory that we've never been in before with all of these kinds of people.
We've never been in this territory. We have 55 million people who were not born in the United States. That's the highest number in our history and the highest percentage. Almost 15% with the latest 10 million. We don't authenticate them. We don't do background checks. We don't even try to integrate and assimilate them. So they are tribal. We say your tribal fides, not your American or your shared residence is what counts. And then we shouldn't forget this diversity, equity, inclusion. It's really pernicious in two ways. It says that if you're so-called non-white, you can't be discriminatory, you can't be racist, you can't be anti-Semitic, and the world is divided into oppressors and oppressed, and the Israelis and the Jews are oppressive white people, and therefore you get a complete pass to say whatever you want. And the second aspect of it is, we don't even have the SAT anymore to go to these elite schools in most cases. And Yale gives 80% A's. The rest of the Ivy League is close behind. These students are not taking rigorous courses. They have plenty of time. They're gut courses. And these universities that are intent on racing to the bottom because they're letting in students by their own admission would never have been admitted according to their own standards just 4 or 5 years ago. And now the students are running the university and they determine the grade policy, the types of courses that are offered, and they're in control, and the presidents are terrified of them.
Wow. Spot on, Victor Davis Hanson. You are unbelievably spot on. These university presidents are terrified. And they're the cowards who let them in to begin with, who modified their own entrance requirements to let them in, who excluded Asians in order to let these law-breaking imbeciles into their campuses, excluded qualified Asian students, who are suing, of course, Harvard, and they will win if they haven't won already. I haven't followed it to its conclusion. If Harvard were smart, they'd be settling those claims because they have no chance to win. But Harvard isn't smart. Harvard is no longer a place to respect as the higher education system that we aspire to. Boy, if we could just get into Harvard, wouldn't that be a great achievement? That's not an achievement anymore. Any two-bit idiot can get into Harvard. All you have to do is walk onto campus and start yelling, "Death to Israel. Death to America." And all of a sudden some dean or some professor will come running out of their office and say, can we get you into school here? Yeah, but you know, I've got a 1.5 grade point. Who cares? You said the right things. Death to America. Death to Israel. You're one of us. Come join us here. You can be the editor of the Harvard Crimson, the newspaper. That's what Harvard's all about now. That's what Yale's all about. And you see it every day. Columbia University. All of these Ivy League schools, once thought to be the most respected level of education in this country, and they're not. Can you imagine how much it aggravates people like Robert Kraft, who we talked about earlier, the owner of the New England Patriots, a billionaire who donates millions upon millions to these schools? He's not alone. These other billionaires have said, that's it. We're done. We're done. Billionaire investor Leon Cooperman, a business school graduate of Columbia University, said he would stick with a stop on donations, which he began right after the October 7th Hamas massacres. And he has stayed with it. He will continue to not donate to Columbia. And he was donating hundreds of millions. Industrious Len Blavatnik says he's going to pull back. He says Columbia University's leadership must take immediate steps to ensure Jewish students are protected from threats and intimidation, and that those who violate their policies are held to account. Well, they're not. They're not. And they're not going to be. And that's a simple fact. You've seen the presidents of Harvard and Columbia in front of Congress when Elise Stefanik has embarrassed them, finally got the Harvard president to resign under pressure from her. The Columbia president hasn't resigned yet. But it's unbelievable. Leon Cooperman told CNN, these kids are fucking crazy. They don't understand what they're doing or what they're talking about. He's right. He said that he spoke to the president of Columbia and told her, stop hiring these left-wing professors that fill kids with hate. And that's what happens on every one of these. These are professors that are out there leading and joining these psychopaths. Cooperman added, this diversity, equity, and inclusion is all bullshit. Those are all his words, not mine. These are guys who went to these schools, who are billionaires, and who are sick of it. Sick of it. And then Mike Johnson, the speaker, says he's going to go to Columbia. What are you going there for? This is a guy who made the Sergeant of Arms threaten Representative Congressman Massey from Kentucky to take down his video of Democrats waving Ukrainian flags on the House floor or face a $500 fine. Mike Johnson's nothing. He's worse than a rhino. He is truly, he and has been truly, an actor all the time. He's fooled a lot of us. He fooled me originally. But it's easy for them to fool us because we don't see them enough to know. But that's the speaker. Ted Cruz, what did you see this weekend?
We saw an image this weekend of presumably a Columbia student, and by the way, by all appearances, not a Palestinian, but a young blonde woman, standing there with an Arab headscarf and holding a sign, and she's standing in front of several Jewish students behind her who have Israeli flags and American flags, and her sign says Al-Qassam's next target with an arrow at these Jewish students. Al-Qassam is Hamas's military arm. She is literally advocating that terrorists murder her fellow students. If you had any administrators that were sane, any student that advocates terrorist murder fellow students would be expelled on the spot. If you are threatening other students, you should be arrested and you should be expelled. And by the way, that's true if you were threatening Jewish students or you were threatening Palestinian students or anybody else. You don't have a right to engage in threats of violence. And the problem is these administrators agree with the anti-Semites on the street, and so does the Biden White House. You know, the Biden Twitter account, he has yet to say a word about what's happened at Columbia, what's happened at Yale, what's happened at NYU.
Not a word from that coward. And, of course, nothing from these school presidents. They just let these lunatics occupy the school property. Just like down at Missouri a number of years ago with the fake hunger strike. Remember the chaos that ensued down there when the liberals tried to take over? Just like all of the cowards in the Missouri administration who just stood there and let it happen, who didn't order every one of those tents removed immediately from the quadrangle, from the columns area, one of the most beautiful landmarks on the Mizzou campus. But liberals don't care what they trash. Tradition, they don't care about tradition. They want to destroy everything in their wake. And these idiots who run Missouri are just like the idiots who run the rest of these schools. They're coward, woke liberals. That's all they are. And as you heard earlier, they're terrified of these university presidents. You know, none of this happened when Donald Trump was president. None of the wars occurred. The Middle East was peaceful. We had peace in the world. Stephen Miller, was Donald Trump successful at that?
Donald Trump as president brought peace to Europe, Asia, and what we're talking about tonight, the Middle East. His strategy with Iran to contain them, to cut off their funding, to choke off their ability to spread terrorism to their proxies was unprecedentedly successful. His peace agreements with Israel and his neighbors helped establish tranquility in a region that has known bloodshed for so many years. Joe Biden reversed all of that progress and unleashed the hellish nightmare we are seeing now in the Middle East. But let's talk about what else Joe Biden is doing. As pro-Hamas radicals in the Democrat Party are terrorizing Jews, terrorizing Americans, terrorizing students, is Joe Biden using the Department of Justice to go after them for their riotous behavior, for violating the civil rights of their fellow Americans? Is he going after the universities for using your taxpayer dollars? No. Joe Biden, the Democrat Party, New York State Democrats, and Democrat authorities are using all of their collective might to persecute one man, and his name is Donald Trump.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. That is sickening, isn't it? Absolutely sickening. Wow. I don't get it. I mean, truthfully. But that's what happens. And as I mentioned, Dr. Chloe Carmichael is a clinical psychologist. Why are there so many women supporting Hamas terrorists?
As a clinical psychologist, I can say that women are higher on nurturance, agreeableness, and trust. And so I can only speculate that, you know, women also do spend more time on social media. And so they are easily more influenced by social media, which we know does lean left. And if somehow they've got the idea through all this social media and kind of an agreeable nature of believing what's being said there, that Hamas is in some insane way the victim, maybe they feel the need to nurture or, you know, protect Hamas. Also, women are more likely to want to please authority figures. And as you mentioned, the faculty are even showing up, which is completely despicable at these university protests. On some level, you know, women are graduating colleges at very high rates. It's a good thing in some ways that they like to please the professors, but you can see that it can really go off the rails if the professors are going in the wrong direction.
Yeah, they're going in the wrong direction, all right. They're definitely going in the wrong direction. And it's these professors that are dangerous. But the, you know, for her to say that the women, you know, well, you know, this is just kind of, we're nurturing, so that, you know, we have always, you know, liked our professors and we want to please them. And, you know, I don't buy that. I don't buy that that's how women are. Not today. They're not going to, well, I want to please my professor. I'm sorry. I don't think that's the case. So I'm going to support a terrorist group. You really think women are that way? I mean, it's sort of insulting to women, isn't it? To say that simply because they want to please their professor, that they will support terrorist groups? Really? I don't think so. I really don't. I mean, to me, it just doesn't make any sense. And it, again, it's sort of insulting to women. I know she's a female clinical psychologist. Maybe she knows more than I do. Maybe. I just don't think that's the case. Myself. But maybe she's right. Who knows? I think John Fetterman actually understands all of this better than most. Here's John Fetterman on all of these protests.
It's completely reasonable to want a ceasefire or to have a different view on that. Absolutely, that's a democracy. But it is not appropriate or legal, or it's helpful to advance your argument if you show up in a Starbucks with a bullhorn and start yelling at people, and that doesn't make you noble. It just makes you an asshole.
He's right. None of this doesn't make you noble, shouting free Hamas. It makes you an asshole. And when you run into these campuses and pull this crap and you scare the bejesus out of these Jewish students and everybody else that comes in your wake, and you run into Starbucks and pull this crap, it just makes you an asshole. Fetterman's correct. Fetterman ought to wake up and realize he's more of a Republican conservative than he is a Biden guy. Quit voting with Biden on every single issue. You don't talk like you want to support it, and then you support it. Who are you afraid of? Chuck Schumer? Seriously? You need to switch parties, dude. While all this is going on, rather than condemn it, Biden's down in Florida mumbling something on the campaign trail. See if you can decipher this.
Folks, in a sense, I don't know why we're surprised by Trump. How many times does he have to prove we can't be trusted? Don't mess with the movement of America.
Don't mess with the movement of America. How many times has he proven that we can't be trusted? He said that. He's talking, of course, about Roe versus Wade. He had a big thing in reinstate Roe. This is all this guy can talk about is killing babies. But listen to him again. He says why we can't be trusted and then movement of America.
Folks, in a sense, I don't know why we're surprised by Trump. How many times does he have to prove we can't be trusted? Don't mess with the movement of America.
This is the guy that has 30-some-odd percent of support, and in Wisconsin, 40-something percent, and in other states, 40-something percent, according to these polls. You're telling me that 4 out of 10 people in all of these swing states would vote for this asshole, for this guy who can't even speak? I'm telling you, Fetterman, who had a stroke, is in much better control of his faculties than this clown is. This guy's a walking stroke. But he was right. Trump has shown how we can't be trusted, meaning himself and his fellow Democrats. Protect the mimimin of America. I don't know who the mimimin are, but maybe Biden does. Even Dana Perino, who doesn't rip many people, has just about had it with Biden and his lack of being able to put together two sentences. He has now decided, and he hasn't in his entire presidency, sat down for an interview with either the Washington Post, the New York Times, or the Wall Street Journal. It hasn't happened in 60 plus years, by the way. And no president has not sat down with the New York Times, except Biden. Now, why is that?
Axios reported that during his presidency, Joe Biden has refused to give a single interview to the New York Times, the Washington Post, or the Wall Street Journal. And he's the only president in living memory to refuse an interview with the Times. So, what happened to the Biden promise of a return to norms? Normal would be a president who actually talks to his constituents in coherent sentences without needing closed captions. You know things are bad when the best speech the president's given is this one.
I have one word. Don't. Don't.
Not exactly the Gettysburg Address. Joe would struggle reciting his mailing address.
She's right. And by the way, that speech, don't, as soon as he said it, the Iranians did. And then did again and again and again and again. It's funny that, according to polls, liberal polls, this guy gets 40% plus of support in these swing states. And yet, anywhere outside of the United States, everyone regards him as a bumbling joke, which is, of course, what he is. He says, don't. The Iranians say, ha, F you, you dope. Nobody cares what he says, except in this country. That's the irony of it all. We are one of the most, and we have become one of the most illiterate countries on the face of the planet. How have we done that? Because of these woke indoctrination centers called universities, allowing one stooge after another to gain admittance into these schools just so long as they screamed and spewed the liberal lies. The rest of the world regards us as an outpost of idiocy, which is what we are. And boy, they sure do respect Biden. Don't. Don't. Okay. Fuck you. That's pretty much what the Iranians said. And then attacked our soldiers again and again and again and again. And then attacked the Israelis. Does this guy have an ounce of credibility? I just want to know. Well, I don't want to. Never mind. I take that back. Slap me silly. I don't want to know anybody who votes for him. And then if something happens to him, guess what? You have the cackling chameleon heals up Horace. And Tammy Bruce, sum it up about her.
Yeah, this is now a cartoon. I'm waiting for Roger Rabbit. That's the only person missing from this entire scenario. Now the problem, I was kind of shocked that it took the White House, the DNC, the Democrats to do a focus group to try to find out why people don't like Kamala Harris, that they're that clueless, that they couldn't figure it out themselves. And the laugh, I would argue, it's not the laugh per se. It's that it signifies someone who is unserious, and that is, it's a crutch. It's a distraction.
Yeah, she's right. She's 100% right. And yet, we have Republicans who cross over in the House and vote with the Democrats to give Ukraine more money, three times as much as they give Israel, and Taiwan more money. While the Democratic House members sit there waving Ukraine flags in the House chambers. Ukraine flags. This is the United States of America here. Biden likes to remind us of that. This is the United States of America. There's nothing we can't accomplish if we do it together. And now we've got Mitch McConnell blaming Tucker Carlson for turning some Republicans against the idea of providing military aid for Ukraine by demonizing the war-torn country. Mitch McConnell's one of the all-time criminals in American history. I think the demonization of Ukraine began by Tucker Carlson, he says, who in my opinion ended up where he should have been all along, which was interviewing Vladimir Putin. Ooh, wow, that's funny, Mitchie. Mumble some more to us, will you? Get the shit out of your mouth. He had an enormous audience which convinced a lot of rank-and-file Republicans that maybe this was a mistake. No, not maybe. We know that's where you go to get your money laundered. Although you may just go directly to China because you and your wife are communist Chinese members. You're a spy. The Republicans have put a Chinese spy in charge of the Republican minority in the Senate. That's how smart the Republicans are. Somehow it's a bad thing to go interview Putin. Why is that bad? Shouldn't we try to find out what our enemies are thinking? You may not get much of an insight, but you got to try. Funny, I didn't hear old Mumbles McConnell say that about Megyn Kelly when she interviewed Putin. Just Tucker Carlson. Because Tucker Carlson and now Megyn Kelly obviously realize what a fraud McConnell actually has always been. Wow. Mitch McConnell. Hope you're proud of yourself, Republicans in Kentucky. That's who you voted in. And I hope you're proud of yourself, Josh Hawley and the rest. That's who you put in charge of your caucus. Mitch McConnell. You can't be any dumber than that.
And finally, new rule.
You really can't.
One of the few.
You just can't be any dumber. Bill Maher, wait your turn. This congressman from Texas, Tony Gonzalez, a rhino if ever there was one, criticized Republicans like Marjorie Taylor Greene for telling the Democrats and Anna Paulina, I can't think of her last name now, for telling the Democrats to put those damn flags away, those Ukraine flags. Gonzalez criticized them. Then he slandered Matt Gaetz and others in the Republican Party.
But Mike Johnson is going to be just fine. I served 20 years in the military. It's my absolute honor to be in Congress. But I served with some real scumbags. Look, Matt Gaetz, he paid minors to have sex with him at drug parties. Bob Good endorsed my opponent, a known neo-Nazi. These people used to walk around with white hoods at night. Now they're walking around with white hoods in the daytime.
That's a Republican talking about fellow Republicans. Tony Gonzalez. Do everything you can, Trump, to primary this guy right out of the House. Get his ass out. I don't care if he's military or not. We don't need soldiers like Tony Gonzalez. I'm sure he would have shot his own bunkmate right in the back. Because that's what he does. He's a backstabber. If I were Matt Gaetz, I would sue him and I would continue to sue him until the day I died. You slandering, low-rent scum. You talk about other people being scum. You are scum of the earth. And he's from Texas. Remember that name, Tony Gonzalez. Get his ass out of Congress at all costs. And I don't know if you're familiar with this Cinemax, I believe it's on Cinemax, documentary on Nickelodeon. And I don't know if anybody's familiar with what Nickelodeon's been accused of doing. But it explores the dangers of, it's called Quiet on the Set. And it's a documentary about the pedophiles attacking children actors, child actors. And Bill Maher, an uber liberal, spoke out about it and, in fact, defended Ron DeSantis' stance in Florida against Disney.
It is just scene after scene, clip after clip, of the child stars of their day being subjected to obviously inappropriate, highly sexualized degradation. So I don't know if this documentary is the talk of your town, but it is out here because it didn't just expose a dangerous workplace. It also exposed hypocrisy. Because it must be pointed out that when the evil governor of Florida was saying the exact same thing about kids and creepy stuff at Disney that liberals now find intolerable at Nickelodeon, he was dismissed as a hick and a bigot. But why would a kid's content factory like Disney be all that different than the one at Nickelodeon? A 2014 CNN report discovered that at least 35 Disney employees had been arrested for sex crimes against children, and in 2021, Disney child star Allison Stoner confessed she only narrowly survived the toddler-to-train-wreck pipeline. The next year, child star Cold Sprouse told the New York Times that young actresses at the Disney Channel were heavily sexualized from an early age. You know, Willie Sutton said he robbed banks because that's where the money is. And the reason we find pedophiles in the Boy Scouts and the Rectory and kids' TV is that's where the kids are. DeSantis wasn't wrong, but we're so tribal now. The left will overlook child fucking if the guy from the wrong party calls it out.
That is so true. That's how sickening liberals are. They don't care what happens to your children. If Ron DeSantis says it's wrong, then they don't care. Good for you, Mar, for calling them out. You know, the liberals are going to hate him because he's been after the liberals now for a long time. And he's right in what he says about them. His blind hatred for Donald Trump is something that I think only a psychiatrist could evaluate. He clearly suffers from Trump derangement syndrome. By the way, I was trying to think of Anna Paula. talking is a very difficult thing for me. Anna Paula Luna, as a friend of mine texted me to remind me of her last name. But she's the one who said to those Democrats, put those damn flags away. Those Ukrainian flags on the House of Representatives in the chambers. That's how little Democrats think of this country. They know where their money gets laundered, and it's in Ukraine. And so they'll be damned if they're not going to vote to give Ukraine more money because it bounces right back to them. Does anybody out there not know that? Not understand why these political hacks want to keep giving money to Ukraine? When did Ukraine become so important? Ask yourself this question. If Russia completely obliterated and took over Ukraine today, would it hurt the United States? Of course not. They used to own Ukraine. Ukraine used to be a part of the Soviet Union. Didn't bother us then. It only bothers politicians now because that's where they go to get their money laundered. No reason for that Ukraine to be a big deal. Oh, but if they get Ukraine, then they'll go into Poland. Why? When have they ever tried to go into Poland? They go into Poland, you stop them. You know why? Poland's an ally. Ukraine's not an ally. They go into NATO countries, you step in. If those NATO countries have paid their fair share, as Trump told them, if you don't pay your fair share, we're not defending you. If they haven't paid their fair share, then the hell with them. Let them get taken over. they'll learn to pay their fair share. I promise you this. If one NATO country gets invaded by Russia, every one of the rest of them, if we don't defend them, will step up and pay their fair share that day. And that's how you stop it. You act like a grown-up. Grown-ups don't let their kids run the house. Well, university presidents let the kids run the schools, but real grown-ups don't let kids run their households. That only happens in politics. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we will take your calls. 636-348-4460, 636-348-4460, if you'd like to join in. You're more than welcome. And we'll be back to do that right after this. Welcome me back in. Kevin Slayton with you on this Hump Day Wednesday right here in the Monster Energy Drink, STL-Cars.com, King's Court on KevinSlaytonShow.com, where you come to get the live show every day. Well, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for now, but it'll be every day soon. The unvarnished truth backed by facts and evidence. Don't forget we do the Monster Energy Drink, STL-Cars.com sports show on 590 The Fan every day from noon to 2 Central Time. Our good friends at STL-Cars.com just keep selling cars. We had a listener to the show call. He said he went through the website. He was one of the few people that couldn't find what he wanted in the over 1,000 cars on that website. So he called Don at 314-626-3251. He told him what he wanted. He was looking for a specific truck for his mom for her birthday. Don scoured the country with the great inventory connections that he has. He got it for him. And that guy was able to present his mom with that truck on her birthday. So you can go dealership to dealership and beat your head against the wall trying to strike a deal. Spend your entire Saturday rather than watching games, going to your kids' games, your grandkids' games. You can go to these car dealers. You could view probably about 30 or 40 or 50 cars in the entire day. and then maybe make a deal, maybe not, but it'll take you 6 or 7 hours. Or you could just go to stl-cars.com. During halftime of your kid's game, you could find a car that you want. There's over 1,000 cars, SUVs, and trucks on the site, used and new. And when you find the one you like, 314-626-3251. Call or text either one, and make sure you're looking for Don, 314-626-3251. Tell him what you want. Tell him what you want to pay for it, and he'll get it for you. Boom. And as I mentioned, if you can't find what you want, tell him what you're looking for. He'll get that for you. Don't make the car buying experience feel like you're going to the dentist for a root canal. Doesn't have to be that way. It just doesn't. STL-cars.com. Forgot to change phones here for you, so if you want to call, you can certainly do so now at 636-348-4460. 636-348-4460. If you want to weigh in on any of the topics that we've discussed this morning, feel free to do so. I'm just appalled at what's going on in this country. It just gets worse and worse every day. And every time I look up and look at the TV and I see this idiot Zelensky from Ukraine in his sweatshirt talking about putting pressure on Congress to pass this kind of aid package that gives him all the money, hardly gives any to Israel, our actual ally. Go figure that out someday. Why is that the case? Ryan is up first. Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
Slow it down, Kevin. It's not afternoon yet.
I'm trying to get rid of this day.
I'm trying to get to my tea time. I wish it was the afternoon. There's so much I want to say. So first off, earlier you talked about what has been obvious for years, and it's this liberal indoctrination of these kids. I'm so happy to say my middle son, got accepted into a welding program at South Tech here in St. Louis. He will not step foot anywhere near any of these liberal colleges. He's got a great plan in mind, and I know he will be the kid that will work his ass off, and very proud that he won't be anywhere near that shit.
That's beautiful. I mean, honestly, when you think about it, you know, people forget the trade schools all the time. Trade schools are high paying jobs. These are the ones that the Bidens never tell you about. You know, he's Mr. Union, but he never wants to tell you about the trade schools or anything like that because he knows that if you go there, you're not going to get indoctrinated.
So it's so funny you bring that up because part of the conversation that we had with one of the instructors at the school who made it very clear, King, they can't give some of these jobs away. They're not only high-paying jobs, but they can't give them away because, you know, first and foremost, kids, unfortunately, these days, there's not a lot of kids that want to work. They're trying to get rich quick, so to speak. But these jobs are just – they're so available. But just like you said, Biden's, the liberals, they don't promote the unions. They don't promote these trade schools that ultimately have kids go straight to unions. But yet the union officials themselves, because they're just as corrupt as the liberals
right.
are – they implore their people to vote union. And we got on the topic of, so you got unions that vote liberal because they're told to, you got black people that are voting liberal because they're told to, you got Jewish people that are voting liberal. What are they getting? What are any of those groups actually getting out of their vote?
Well, if you look at the facts, they're getting nothing. The black community got plenty out of their vote for Donald Trump. But they've got nothing in the 4 years that Biden's been in there.
I'll never understand for the life of me what makes them go to the poll and say, I'm voting for Joe Biden, even though I'm not going to get a goddamn thing out of it.
I don't understand that either, and I really don't understand the Jewish community. These are people that value all of the things that Democrats do not value. Education, work hard, hard days work, get paid properly for your work. The Democrats they believe in handouts. And that's how they get your vote. They think that they can bribe the black community with, you know, all kinds of freebies, which, by the way, don't amount to squat. And the black community is starting to realize that. These freebies don't, you know, welfare. We'll give you welfare. Well, so welfare doesn't even pay for my electric bill. What are you talking about? I'll get welfare. Who gives a damn?
Yeah, how about you do something for me that's going to get me off welfare, you jackass?
Yeah, get me a job where I can actually make money, make a living, support my family. This guy who's so pro-union. Joe Biden, I'm going to guarantee you that there's a microphone somewhere that's caught him telling everybody how much he hates unions. You can't possibly be pro-union and fire all of those pipeline workers with exactly. tens of thousands of them with high-paying union jobs the first day you take over after you've told the unions how pro-union you are. And as you pointed out, these union executives, these union bosses who are so effing corrupt, they sell their membership down the river every single election by endorsing these Democrats.
Sure do. Sure do. Well, and I'm dumbfounded that for me, the common sense factor is over some of these people's heads, because just look at the news even recently with all this shit going on over there, where you've got Democrats themselves coming out verbally and noticeably against Israel. But you've got Republicans speaking out, obviously, in support of Israel. And again, I'm not a big fan of the Republican Party these days myself.
No, but, not either.
But I got to tell you, if you got liberals on camera, on the news, publicly speaking out against Jews, but yet you're a Jewish person that's still going to vote for a
it's
Democrat,
unbelievable, isn't
that's
it?
The definition of stupid.
It really is. I thought the Jewish population was pretty smart and valued education. Apparently not. I was mistaken. Because that you can't be any dumber than that. Not only that, all you have to do is take a look at the political hacks from the Republican Party in the House who voted to give more money to Ukraine than to Israel by a lot. It wasn't even close. A ton more going to Ukraine. So if I'm Jewish in the United States, I say to myself, well, I'm not voting for that bastard if that's my district.
Yeah, and the last thing I'll say is to that point, too. So you're going to send you're printing more funny money to send over there to Ukraine, and you wonder why we're still going to be paying, you know, $6 for a dozen eggs here in the future.
Wait a minute. Let's be fair. Those prices went up only because of supply issues, right? So the supply chain was down, so that's the only reason those prices went up.
Yeah.
That's what they try to actually tell you, and people actually believe that bullcrap.
They really do, and I'll be shocked. Like I said, I'm amazed when I watch the news every night, and you've said it multiple times on your show. There's the IQ of these people will be finally put on display when these are the dumbasses that actually vote for Biden.
So true. Well, let's hope that
happens.
Have a
great day, buddy.
All right, Ryan, enjoy the golf course.
Good, buddy.
Thank you. I wish I was playing myself. I'm still a ways away from that, but I'll get there. I'll get there with God's help. No doubt I'll get there. Hey, by the way, Caitlin Clark is signing a Nike deal worth $28 million. $28 million. And I wonder why Nike didn't jump on her while she was playing at Iowa. Why did they wait till she turned pro? They could have paid her at Iowa. I guess they figured they would have been setting a standard for a college player to pay them $28 million. Nobody's making anywhere near that. But if that's the case, then I guess Caitlin Clark and her decision to turn pro is going to make her more money than had she stayed at Iowa. However, she was already a multimillionaire at Iowa. My point was, it's much more fun to play college basketball in front of sellout crowds every night like she was doing, be the toast of your state, rather than go to the WNBA, get paid more money, which you would get in another year, by the way, and disappear from the public stage. Nobody will know where Caitlin Clark is after about 2 weeks of the WNBA season. You'll forget who she plays for. You'll forget when their games run because you won't watch. It's not like the college game. Same with the NBA, for that matter. It's not like the college game either. In my book, nothing is like college football and college basketball. Nothing. It's just the whole pageantry of the entire sports. So if I had my choice and I could be a millionaire in college or make even more millions this year in the pros, and yet if I do stay in college and I'm a multimillionaire, in a year, I'll still make that extra money in the pros. I'm staying in college. That's me. It's not everybody, of course. Maybe college isn't for everybody. She probably has already graduated. She probably doesn't need to even be taking classes, but she gets that extra year because of the COVID joke, the COVID hoax. But congratulations to her. Nike stepped up and gave her $28 million. And I think she's underpaid. I think Caitlin Clark is a generational athlete who all these little girls, and for that matter, I wear a Caitlin Clark hoodie. I mean, guys are wearing them too. especially the little girls, though, they're going to be buying everything that has Caitlin Clark's picture on it. And anything that has a Nike logo on it that has Caitlin Clark's name on it. Matt is up. Hello, Matt. How are you?
I'm well, Mr. Slayton. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you.
Thanks. Hey, that Caitlin Clark, I think, obviously it's your own, and that's a pretty lucrative contract with Nike. I'm a little disappointed she went with Nike. I think the backlash she would have got in college.
I wish she would have gone with somebody
else. Yeah, Under Armour, New Balance.
But that's that's up to the other companies, you know, step forward.
Right. Yeah, who knows? And then
an offer.
But look at that girl that transferred into Iowa, the number three score in college. Why wouldn't you have stayed, gone for the national championship, have a lot better opportunity? South Carolina's not going to be what they were.
Well, we don't know if that girl would have transferred in had Caitlin Clark stayed.
Yeah, it's true. I guess she could.
Remember this in basketball, there's only one ball.
Yeah, that's true.
And a lot of these teams need four.
But Caitlin had, especially in the last month there, she'd have a game on, she'd have a game off. I mean, just like the tournament. And that other girl on Iowa, I can't think of her name, she scored like 28 the day that Caitlin was off. I mean, that just would be something to talk about or see. If you had a number one and number three.
I wish she would have stayed because I've probably seen her last game now, because I don't think I'll ever watch a WNBA game.
I know, and that's the thing. Caitlin Clark literally put women's college basketball on her shoulders, lifted up to a height I don't think it's ever been at. And now I think the interest is going to wane unless somebody else steps up. But
it will.
I don't see that happening.
No, she's a generational player. You know, you had Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer and those guys. Then all of a sudden you had Tiger Woods. Now everybody's waiting for the next one. Maybe it's Scottie Scheffler. He certainly looks like that. He's the next guy because of the way he's playing. But every sport needs that. Every sport needs a dynasty because everybody wants to root against the dynasty. You know, when the Steelers were winning four Super Bowls in 6 years, everybody wanted to beat the Steelers. The 49ers the same way. You know, right now everybody wants to beat the Chiefs. They hated the Patriots. But that's what sports needs. When you don't have a dynasty, you know, everybody hates the Astros right now in baseball because they're the dynasty. But when you don't have one, then the sport loses a little bit of interest.
Yeah, that's true. It's in.
Everybody hated Nick Saban in Alabama. Oh, and Alabama lost to Jim Harbaugh. All of a sudden, Jim Harbaugh, the guy they hate, now they love him.
Yeah, but you know, one game and he left, or one win. That's a shame. I wish he would have stayed.
It wasn't one win. I mean, he was there a long time.
Wins, but he did national championship, right? I would like to see him. When I do see someone win, even if I don't like the team or the person, I do like to see him win back-to-back because it happens so rarely.
Well, yeah, but why would Jim Harbaugh stay at Michigan the way the NCAA treats him and other coaches? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. College football, as much as I love it, is out of control. If I were a coach, I would leave. I would pray they fired me and pay me my buyout, and then I'd be gone. Then I'd go buy my retirement home, take my kids, then my grandkids, anybody I wanted, because I'd have tens of millions of dollars, and I would never have to put up with that crap again. And that's what Harbaugh did. He said, screw this. I need this like I need a punch in the mouth. I'm not staying here.
It's the same thing that's happened in politics. You see good guys that are seem like good guys in representation at state level, federal level, and they leave because of the disgusting, sinful. And I'm no better, but I'm not that bad.
Look who you have to associate with if you're in politics. Look at the kind of people you associate with.
Right.
I mean, the dirtiest of the dirty.
And they're on both sides. And that I can't think of his name. The kid out of North Carolina was in a wheelchair, and he brought it to light, and they basically kicked him out of Congress. I mean, I couldn't believe he couldn't win in North Carolina. You'd think the evangelist would get behind him, and he would have won another term. And he pointed it out, that the drugging and sex capades that go on. There was a state, and I brought this up before, there was a state representative out of like Audrain. I can't really remember his name, but he served in Missouri Senate. And he said the filth and sin and drugs and sex going on was so bad, he did one term and got out. And he just moved on, went back to his life, and he's living a good life.
Well, that's the way it's supposed to be anyway. That's what the Founding Fathers had in mind. They didn't expect this to be a career.
No, they would. And that's why they don't even need the time off they get now, because they used to go home and run their business or tend to their farms and then go back and handle business and then come back home again.
Exactly.
And now it's a retirement fund, and it's disgusting. It has term limits all around.
All right, Matt, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Keep it up and continue to get well.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Good morning, Cleo. How are you?
Morning, Kevin. How's it going?
Going great. How about yourself?
Real good, real good. I'll be quick because I know time is of the essence, but I'll make a few points here.
That's all right.
Okay. Up on the East Coast in the Ivy League, are they all competing to be called Hate Jew U?
I like that. They put on one of those little banners that you used to wave, you know, that said State University or, you know, Michigan or Ohio State, those little banners you used to wave, the flags.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you've got people like Sandy Cortez who called the Columbia chaos peaceful. Ask the Jews if they think it's peaceful. Ask the rabbi at Columbia University who advised all of the Jewish students to leave the school because it's too dangerous. But Sandy Cortez calls it peaceful.
She's a joke.
A complete joke.
I mean, I know these schools will be hurting for alumni donations now, but what about enrollment, Kevin? No Jews are going to go to their school anymore.
Well,
and no self-righteous person, kid, is going to go to that school. What if a kid wants to go to that school? They're going to go to daddy and say, daddy, you got $90,000 for me to go to Yale. What's daddy going to say?
But you'd be surprised. You know, you'd be surprised at how many of them go. I don't know why they would now, though. You're right. Maybe this will change it all. I mean, if I were Jewish and I was wealthy and I had my son or daughter wanted to go to one of the Ivy League schools, I'd say, no. There are plenty of schools to go to, though there aren't very many that you can find that will stand up to this kind of danger that's going on. I don't know any schools that the presidents have stood up to it. I don't know a single one.
Yeah, you know, I hear at Yale, 80% of the kids get A's anyway.
Yeah, that's what Newt Gingrich was saying, or I think it was Newt Gingrich. We had that earlier. No, Victor Davis Hanson was saying 80% A's, and they've lowered their academic standards. These 4 years ago, these people wouldn't even be getting into Yale.
Yeah, they're really going to lower their standards now, because I'm telling you, kids are going to stop going there. It's going to really hurt them bad, and I hope
it does. I hope it breaks them. It'll never break Harvard with their endowment, but it might break some of them. I hope it does. I mean, these billionaires at Columbia who've said publicly they're not giving another dime, it doesn't seem to affect Columbia. So they've still got enough people or a sizable endowment where they can get by. But you know what? Eventually that endowment will run dry if they continue this kind of behavior and people stop donating.
Yeah, eventually it will. Hey, you're talking on Mitch McConnell. I can go to the New York Times, Kevin. His wife has real ties to communist China with that shipping company.
Of course she does. Her family's involved in it. That means McConnell is too.
Yeah, I can even find this in the New York Times, Kevin. I mean, what the hell?
Yeah, he's a communist spy, as far as I'm concerned, a Chinese communist spy. And the Republicans are so damn dumb and such a pack of cowards that they keep him in the leadership role in the Senate. Who would do that?
Idiotic.
I mean, who would do that? Democrats don't have – they haven't cornered the market on stupid. I mean, the Republicans are just as dumb as the Democrats. They're just not as corrupt.
Hey, did you see Biden mocking God, making the sign of the cross at the abortion rally?
Yeah, that's sickening. But he's sickening. He's sickening.
What about the Archbishop of Delaware or Washington, wherever he supposedly goes to church, calling him on the carpet for that?
One of them did. Told him not to bother coming to church in his Catholic church, Catholic diocese. But I don't know that. And then he was chastised, by the way, by the Pope. Can you believe that? We've got a communist Pope. That's part of the problem.
Yeah,
a Pope who believes in abortion.
Yeah, he's a real socialist. He's a real jackass.
Yeah, he's a joke too. That's why the Catholic Church is a joke. And anytime you've got a Pope who hides pedophiles and protects them with the donations that people make to the church every Sunday, then you've got you don't even have a religion, you have a cult.
Yeah, that's a black mark on the church, I gotta admit. Hey, one more thing, I got an idea for an ad, for presidential ad, not to vote for Biden. Just put Biden, all you people out there who want to vote for Biden, just look at this, and you got Biden saying don't.
Yeah, and look what the Iranians said in response. Because he scared him away.
Yeah, he scared the crap out of him. And all the money he's giving Iran, all the Iran.
Yeah, he is Mr. Iran.
Yeah. Hey, what about a cannibalism update on Uncle Bozy? You got anything to say on that?
Well, Uncle Bozy got devoured by the cannibals. No joke.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? I mean, this is the kind of a laughable country we've become, where this moron, and the media doesn't even mock him. You know, some Fox people did. But these liberal media, they don't even say anything about it.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
It's such a freaking lie. He's just such a bold-faced liar. I mean, that would be in keeping with a guy who has no concept of telling the truth. So you just make it up as you go. Who would even say that, though? This guy's so far gone that even if you're telling a lie, you don't make up a cannibal story. Nobody does that, but Biden does.
Can you imagine if Trump said something like that? The outcry.
Oh, my God. Well, that's always the case, though, the double standard. Hey, we got to run, Cleo.
Okay.
Thank
Great
you.
Great talking to you.
Appreciate
you
it. Bye. All right, take care. That's going to wrap us for today, folks, in the Monster Energy Drink, STL-Cars.com, Kings Court. Don't forget to join us on 590 The Fan for our sports version at noon today. Live from Friendly's in South County at Bayless and 55. We'll be down there at Friendly's today. Love you, Mom. Love you, Dad. Love you, Maureen. So long, everybody.